Everyone, this is Living a Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live, as always, in the studio here in Clearwater, Florida, on this gorgeous sunny day. And last week, Nan, you were in here with me, and we had almost swam to get in the door last week, didn't we?
I liked it a lot better this week than it was last week.
Tornadoes flying over your head, too.
Yeah, we had tornadoes right here around the studio during the show last week. It was a wild day, but we are so glad that the sun is shining and all
Debbie
is well.
Gone.
And yeah, Tropical Storm Debbie went on down the road or across the world or wherever she went. I don't know. But anyway, to each of you that have joined us today, we're excited for the show. We are always so looking forward to being on the radio every Sunday. Connie, you and I, we've been doing this since the very beginning, since 07. And honestly, it's exciting every single time we're here, isn't it?
Every Sunday.
It's just exciting. We look forward to it. And, you know, it's a high point of our week, you know, to be here and to be able to talk about the Lord and what he's doing, not just in the ministry, but in our lives, our personal lives, in the lives of our people at Beacon of Hope, and just the contacts of people we meet around. It's just cool. And, Nan, you enjoy it, too. And you've been with us, what, on the radio a year at least now?
Not quite that long.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Okay.
Seems like that, Connie says.
So,
Seems that way.
Connie loves you. She loves you.
I know it.
Yeah. But, Nan, it's fun, isn't it? Don't you look forward to being on the air and just sharing God's word and his love with our audience?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Well, that's the right answer. That's good.
Was that the right answer?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's just a great time to be able to open the word with all of you. You have plenty of time to call a friend or neighbor, ask them to tune in to Living the Good Life today. Also,
yeah, 'cause we got an hour ahead, 2 hours ahead.
2 hours, man, here we go. And, you know, what's exciting, too, Connie, is that we are able to have all of our old shows on our website.
Yes.
That's really cool, don't you think? I remember when we didn't have that, so it's only been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's so much easier now with technology, because I kept trying to upload those things to Maxine, and it just was not working.
Yeah, it was tough. Now it's just done automatically, recorded with our wonderful
Praise
engineer
God.
Who's in there
Praise
looking
God.
Handsome,
Praise
as
God.
Always, Cedric. And shout out to Cedric.
Now.
He's so cute. And, you know, he does it's such a great job. And then he gets us the show the next day, and we get it to our webmaster and uploaded. And so they're there. And Nan, do you ever go back and listen to some?
I have.
Yes.
Yes. You know, look for a certain title, or there was one particular one about Don't Buy the Lie.
The Lie. That was June of 2011. It was very good.
Oh, you did finally listen to it?
Listening. Hey, Sister Connie.
Sister Connie.
Sister Connie.
That's a hateful term.
Right. I know.
I'm sorry.
It's not supposed to mean affectionate. No.
No. It's a hateful
one. You two cracked me up the way you are. But anyway, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here live today with Connie and with Nan, Connie Farmer, Nan Watson, part of our radio team. We're just grateful for all of those who are on our radio team. What a cool thing it is. God's doing a wonderful work in each of us. And so we had a great day at Beacon of Hope this morning. Really fun service. Really great music. I don't know if our band gets any better. I don't know, Connie. It was just fantastic this morning. It was great, and y'all sounded really, really good.
Yeah, even in practice, we sounded good. That was scary.
That It's usually not that way. But it was great. And just a mighty move of God's Holy Spirit today. So we're expecting great things on this radio show today. Bow with me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity today to be on the airwaves. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being your children. God, we just love you so much. And we just extend that love to our listening audience today. Let them feel your presence. Let them know that you love them, that you're a good and wonderful God, and that you care about the details of our lives. And so, Lord, let the words that we say here on this show today be full of your Holy Spirit. Be anointed. Be exactly the words that need to be spoken. We submit this time to you. We thank you for it. And we are excited about what you're going to do in each heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I'm excited about this first song. Connie, you're our music director for the show. And occasionally I will throw out some songs I'm thinking that are on my heart. And, well, more than occasionally. But this one, it was really on my heart today. Psalm 121. One of our dear friends, Robina Richardson, years ago sang this at Beacon of Hope. And it absolutely brought the
house down.
Amazing song. Miss Robina. But Psalm 121 is the name of this song, and it's straight out of the Word of God by Susan Ashton.
I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help, it comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let my foot be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor
great song, just right out of the Word. Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We've been teaching a series here for the last several weeks, Where Your Heart Is. Been a long time, hasn't it, Nan, that we've been talking about this?
It seems like it's been a little while.
Why is this so important, this topic? Caught you off guard, huh?
Yes, you did.
I was going to say something that wasn't right.
All right, you can think that over. But Connie, the importance of our heart just shows our character, doesn't it? And so many times when people begin to behave or do things in their lives that cause them a lot of problems, a lot of times it's a heart problem more than it is just a incident. Don't you think
a lot of times it's their heart, but sometimes they have a good heart and they just get off track.
Right. Exactly.
But still, the more evil or nasty the things are, the more it's the heart.
Right. Yeah. And so we've been talking for weeks now about how important it is to have a heart after God. In fact, God said about David that he was a man after his own heart. And even though David made a lot of mistakes, we've been talking about David for several weeks here on the air, and we've gone through several incidents in David's life that showed his heart, that showed where he was coming from, that showed that he had a heart after God. So important that we develop that heart. Don't you think?
Oh, yes, I think. I can think of times, I believe, at least for me, there are times in our life when bad things happen to us,
right?
And it's not deserving, and right. it's just mean.
Just
you know?
Happened, yeah.
And many times we'll strike out from our own heart.
Right.
That's where that striking is coming from. Striking out at whoever is behaving inappropriately,
sure.
In dealing with us,
right?
You know? And sometimes it's, you know, I mean, that's what we many times need to pray. God, just keep my heart pure,
right.
Before you,
exactly.
in the midst of
right.
what is going on.
Absolutely.
Keep my heart pure. Help me keep my heart pure. And I think you benefit from that as you move forward and whatever goes on.
Absolutely. I think that's what we see in the life of David, that David was so often in very difficult circumstances, times where he was being chased constantly by King Saul. We know that Saul tried to kill him 21 times. I mean, that's huge. Yet David had to maintain an attitude. I mean, huge, don't you think, Connie? I mean, the struggles that this guy went through, and yet God said, this is a man after my own heart, even when David made mistakes, you know?
Yes.
All right. There's a Connie answer.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, no matter what life throws at us, depending on where we are at the moment, is how we respond.
Right.
It may not always be with a godly heart.
Sure.
And, you know, if you're in a turmoil or situation or something, you may respond in a nasty way, or you may, you know, just bite somebody's head off or something.
Right.
Even though that your heart is not like that, and
right.
and instantly you feel
bad.
Yeah.
'Cause you react sometimes,
yeah.
out of your own pain and discomfort. Let's look at Second Samuel chapter 22. And this is towards the end of David's life when this was written. It is also found in Psalm 18 in the Word. Very much a lot of this passage is found in Psalm 18. But let's go to 2 Samuel 22. David prayed to God the words of this song after God saved him from all his enemies and from Saul. Now, David had a long battle running from Saul. This was many, many years that he was on the run. And here's what David says. And I think this shows his heart. This shows where David was coming from. God is bedrock under my feet. I'm reading from the Message Bible, 2 Samuel 22, and starting in about verse 2. God is bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live. My rescuing knight. Oh, I love that. Bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live. That's talking about strength, that God was that to David, and that's how David was able to get through all these difficult circumstances
foundation.
In his life. It's his
like
foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bedrock under his feet, you know. My God, the high crag where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. You know, granite talks of that strong, you know, stone. We have granite countertops these days, and they're supposedly the strongest and the most durable. And David says, I run for dear life, and I hide out behind those boulders. In other words, he's equating God to the stronghold where he runs. He's where he runs to when he's in all these different situations he was in. He calls him my mountaintop refuge. He saves me from ruthless men. Oh, we know there were so many times in David's life that he needed to be rescued from the enemy, from people, from Saul, from his own son, Absalom. We talked about that last week. If you missed last week's show, you can go to our website and pick that up, because that was a great teaching on how his own son turned on him and David's attitude and his heart. And we talked about it last week, Nan, his attitude of forgiveness towards his own son who was trying to steal the kingdom from him. Amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It really is. So here's what David says in verse 5. For I sing to God. I sing to God the praise lofty, and I find myself safe and saved. Both of you, Nan and Connie, you are praisers. You are singers to God. Okay? That's what you do. You love to do it. I watch you both praise in our services. You raise your hands. You're singing. You're closing your eyes. You're into it. Why is that so important? And why did David say, I sing to God. I find myself safe and saved. When you're singing, talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I'm not going to sing it, but the song says, praise is what I do, but when I want to be close to you.
Yes.
I don't remember the rest of it, but that's the important part, is that when you want to be close to God, you praise him.
You praise him. Because praise gets you out of your own junk and gets you your tension over to God. And as you do that, then you feel closer.
Well, he's worthy of our praise.
Amen.
A song that I thought of, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the
today,
house of the
didn't
Lord.
We?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we praise him from our heart. And like you guys said, you know, sometimes you could come in church and, you know, you've been battling some stuff that week or whatever's been going on.
Right.
But when you get in there, and it's so cool. And I've watched Connie praise the Lord.
Sure.
And the smile that comes across her face, it's almost as if she's like looking upon the Father, looking upon Jesus, the praise, you know, and the different people that really, the ones who get the most out of praise and worship is the ones who are really focusing on why they're there doing that. And they're praising the Lord. And it just engulfs you in a very positive way.
Absolutely.
You know, of your burdens that you maybe are dealing with at that particular moment. It's certainly not to minimize the importance of some of those things, but it helps you in dealing with those things as you praise the Lord, because he says, I inhabit the praise of my people.
Mm. Amen, Nan. And it really changes our perspective, our focus, you know, as we begin to praise God. We can be in the middle of huge, awful things. And as we give our heart and our voice, our hands, as we begin to worship God and praise God, everything changes. And David, to me, is one of the chief people in the Word of God that have that taught us praise. I mean, most of the Psalms, a lot of the Psalms were written by David. And, you know, in Psalm 34, which we quote a lot, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That was David's theme, you know. That's where he was coming from. And when we are like that, Connie, I don't know about you, but we change. We are in a different place than what we were, you know?
It doesn't matter what was on your mind to begin with.
Right.
When you first come in or when you first start singing. Because it just changes.
It just changes. Yeah. And don't you think David taught his men, the 600 or more that traveled with him, his warriors, don't you think that he taught them the importance of praise? And they saw it in David's life.
Even though he may not have sat down and said, you know, with the chalkboard and said, this is how you do it, and, you know, the whole teaching thing, they learned through his example.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think, as David was fleeing from Saul so many times, like last Sunday we taught on Psalm 3 and 4, and these were written by David when he was fleeing from his own son, when he was running from his own son, Absalom. He's my glory and the lifter of my head, you know. And I think that as David began to compose these songs in the middle of the battle, that it changed the guys around him, because his warriors were mighty. They weren't mighty just because they were strong And we're going to talk about three of his mighty warriors later. But they weren't mighty just because they were strong. They were mighty because their example, David, was leading them. And he was entering into praise. And praise gives you strength. Praise gives you strength. I'm going to say it one more time.
Praise gives you strength.
There's a chorus we sing a lot at Beacon. He gives strength to me as I worship him, and my mouth is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I lift my hands, bringing glorious victory. That's an old song. It is so right on. He gives strength to me as I worship him. So David says here, I sing to you, praise lofty. I find myself safe and saved. When I'm singing to you. Okay, look at verse 5 of 2 Samuel 22. The waves of death crashed over me. Have you ever felt that way, any of you out there? Have you ever felt like it just like waves coming at you, you know, and trying to sink your boat, And as a result of that, it's almost like you just see them coming and, this reminds me of when my boat did sink. I'm seeing that picture, and really this is a good metaphor right now. Back many years ago when I first moved to Florida, like 21 years ago, I had a little 14-foot bow rider. Six people could sit in it. And a little 40-horsepower Johnson. And it was fine for a lake in Indiana. But when we moved here and we were out in the, you know, intercoastal, and one particular Sunday, you remember this story? One particular Sunday, friend of mine and I had the boat out, and my two children, two of my three, Mark and Lori, were sitting on the front of the boat. And they both just had brand new shoes. And expensive shoes. Mark is a runner, and his shoes were like $120. And Lori just had some new Birkenstocks, and they were over $100. And so they had taken off their shoes, and they had them laying in the front of the boat. And I was driving, and we were just having a wonderful day. And we had actually gone down to Bel Air Beach and had breakfast, and we were coming back. And it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous Florida day. Everything was going fine until I looked up, and there was this great big, what we call down here, a cigarette boat, which has a big, like, pointed, it's hard to explain. But anyway, great big long front. Mm-hmm. And this guy, we didn't know at the time, was doing this to small boats, okay? The police found out about whatever. It's a long story, but I will tell you that when I looked up and saw him getting ready to come right in front of us, I knew that the wake that would come from that would sink our boat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was just like, oh my, looking up, and there it was. There's all the waves. They came rolling in on the boat, and immediately we were capsized. And the boat turned over in the water. And I was trying to grab our new beach chairs and towels, which is crazy, instead of swimming. So, and my friend yelled, leave the towels, leave the boat, who cares, you know, swim. And so my kids, we were all four of us, we were swimming. Immediately, within like a minute, there was a really nice group of people not far from us, right there under the Bel Air Bridge Causeway. They come over with their boat, and they hook us up, our boat, to the back and pull us over, which was a distance over to the shore and to the little area there where we could get out. And then they put us in their boat and so forth. Long story short, of course, there were people standing. They tried to get the serial number of this boat, but they couldn't. But he had been doing this. This was something that had gone on. And long story short, I remember that feeling sitting there driving that boat. Okay. Now, I got to tell you this part. What's interesting is that boat was dragged quite a ways over to this dock, quite a ways by these people, very nice people. And when the boat eventually was turned over, okay, which took a while before we got some help that could turn it over. But when it was turned over, there inside the boat were my children's shoes. And I did not have the money to buy them new shoes. Mark's new his shoes were there. Lori's shoes were there. Not just one each or anything. Both were there. Wow. And they dried out and they were fine. But how God took care of something that little, the shoes in that boat. But the point of all this was when I look up and saw all those waves coming, it was like, you know, something awful is getting ready to happen. And David is describing that kind of thing here. The waves of death crashed over me. Devil waters rushed over me. Some of you out there may be feeling that you've got going through this right now where devil waters, I mean, everything bad is coming over you. Nan, you've never felt that way, have you?
Oh, no, not at all.
I have.
We all have.
Yes, we have.
We have. Where we just feel like it's overwhelming, right, Connie?
Mm-hmm. I have.
And you look up and you go, what is going to happen to me? You know? And you think you're going down for the count.
Why, as I have made reference before, I've had a substantial amount of fun times in family law court and the games that go on with attorneys and things. And, you know, I mean, there was a time that maybe my heart wasn't where it should have been during that, which is kind of getting back to what we said earlier. But then I did get my heart right where it was supposed to be. And, you know, God helped me in my distress. But, I mean, Satan was still there. So what's going to happen to you now?
Right.
What's going to happen to you now? Look, what is the allegations against you now? What's going to happen? My God saw me through.
Yes.
God saw me through.
Saw you through.
Saw me through. And I developed a pure heart before him.
Right.
By instead of reacting and getting real nasty back at the situation, dealing with it a little bit more peacefully.
Right.
You know, and trusting God and praising him.
Didn't like you say you had praise warriors?
I had praise warriors, which is a
talk about that
thing.
A minute, because that's really cool. We've heard you say that before, but some of our audience may not have ever heard that, Nan.
I was coming up against false battery charges against me, which could have big ramifications if I would be put on probation, which would have meant I couldn't have been in the same room as his. It was all falsified thing, but it was amazing it got as far as it did. Couldn't have been in this within, say, 500 feet of his wife.
Right.
Which would mean if I took our child to a program at school and they came in, I would have had to have left the building or I would have been in violation. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Right.
All this was ultimately thrown out, but it came to a good, happy ending. Because the Lord laid on my heart to get praise warriors, because in the word it says he inhabits the praise of his people. I needed help. I couldn't deal with this on my own. I needed help. I needed God's help. And I needed solid Christians around me to be there for me to help
me
through it. So I prayed about it, picked out who I thought I was supposed to pick out, and actually did a lot of correspondence with them, updating them on where things were.
I'm sure she did.
And there were points.
And she indexed it. And filed it.
Nan's an organizer, yes.
And refiled it, yes.
But it was interesting. But you know something I hadn't shared, the exciting thing that happened with it, is these people that I selected as led by the Lord, they were having some sort of different kind of trials going on. So what was happening, he was giving me poems about, you know, various things, not specifics, but just general type things. And then I was sending them out to all those people. And then I knew some of the things that they were dealing with, family issues, legal issues, or whatever. But it was really cool because they were helping praise with me for what was going to happen. But it turned out that we all were praising each other because of some stuff some of them were dealing with that God saw them through in the midst of what I was going through because of sharing. And it all happened because of getting praise warriors.
Praise warriors. Now, we're not talking about prayer warriors. No. There's a difference here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with prayer. We pray all the time, and we have a prayer line. We encourage you to pray. But there is another level of really fighting the devil, and it's called praise. And this is what David understood. This is why David wrote so many of the Psalms and talked about praising God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David, who we've been talking about through this whole series, understood that whole concept that when praise is in our mouths all the time, not worry, not fear, not doubt, not anger, but when we are praising God before we see the answer, thanking God for the outcome because we choose to believe that God is working in our situation, that's the kind of people that were working on your behalf, praise warriors. They were praising God for the good outcome, and it did work.
It did work. When the whole concept of doing that the Lord laid on my heart to do, of course, you know, Satan was right there going, you know how stupid this is?
Right.
Yeah. You know how stupid this is? You're going to get all these people praising. Look at how bad it can be.
Right.
And it could have been pretty bad. Right. You know, but look at how, and I'm like, but my God's going to get glory out of this. And so it was.
And
it was
so he did.
He did.
He did. And you were triumphant in that whole situation. Connie, when we praise God before we see the answer, like Nan said, a lot of times it looks crazy. David understood this. This is one thing that made his heart a heart after God, because he understood, he believed that his God would bring him through the situation regardless of how awful the circumstances were.
Exactly. And I, you know, I was, as Nan was talking, I was thinking about the times when there would be times a few years back that I had different financial issues. I had different just work issues and things going on. And I remember being awake. Something would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I would get into almost a hysterical
anxiety.
It was anxiety.
Been there, done that. I know what you mean.
And I just, you know, and the night after night, I'd be awake in the middle of the night, and I would be fretting and fretting and fretting over stuff.
Right.
And finally, I just decided that there's nothing that I can do to change some of these things. And that if God, you know, God says that he will do it and he will take care of it.
Right.
And he, you know, and so I think that's the point in time in my life when I just said, I'm not doing such a great job managing this.
Right.
So you're going to have to do this.
Right.
That's not to say that I haven't, like, tried to take over a little bit, you know, parts here and there. But,
we all do. That's human nature.
Right. But I, for the most part, even when bad things happen, I just know it's, you know, when I made my mind up that I was not going to fret over stuff,
right.
I just know that it's all going to work out.
Right.
And it does.
It's a level of trust based in faith in God and his promises.
Mm-hmm.
And look at verse 7 here of 2 Samuel 22. Here's what David says. A hostile world. I mean, guys, we live in a hostile world. I called to God, to my God I cried out. From his palace he heard my call. He heard me call. My cry brought me right into his presence, a private mm-hmm. audience. I love that. In the new NIV and New American Standard, it said, he heard my cry out of his temple. My cry came before him, right into his ears. You know, and so when we are in these difficult circumstances, it is time to really go back to what God says about our situation. And David did this. That's why he had a heart after God. David went back to what God said about him, how much he loved him, that all of these promises. In fact, let's go over to 2 Samuel 23. And let's look at the final words of David, and we're going to get an idea of his whole concept of God. 2 Samuel 23:1. These are David's last words. Very important if these are David's last words. The voice of the son of Jesse, the voice of the man God took to the top, whom the God of Jacob made king and Israel's most popular singer. And that's what he did. He was Israel's most popular singer. The Psalms are the songs he wrote. In verse 2 of 2 Samuel 23, God's Spirit spoke through me. This is David talking, okay? His words took shape on my tongue. This is why when we study the Psalms, it is so important because David wrote them, but he said right here, God's Spirit is the one who spoke through me. God's the one who told me to write those, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. These were words that David wrote down, but they came directly from the Spirit of God. That happens to you in poems, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
It really does. It happens to me so many times praying over people. There'll be a word from God, a prophetic word from God. It's just like it just drops into your spirit and it just comes flowing out if you're willing.
I relate it to it. It's like someone just dictating to you. I mean, just as fast
right.
as I can type,
right.
it comes.
And that's,
you know,
the same thing.
Or as fast as I can write,
me.
If I'm writing, it comes. You
right.
know, and it's like it's just like you're a conduit.
That's
you,
all you are.
It just it flows from him to the paper to be
absolutely.
Given to the people. You know, and whoever they're for.
Absolutely. This is what David did all through the Psalms. This is what he wrote. He wrote from the Spirit of God speaking through him. This is another reason we can say that David had a heart after God, because God, he was so in tune mm-hmm. with the mm-hmm. heart of God and with what God was trying to say. It was just amazing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty powerful to think that he had a heart after God, and with the mistakes that we know that he made.
Right.
And, you know, that he was forgiven of those, whatever he did, and moved forward. I think sometimes in life, we make mistakes, and Satan tries to stand there and jump and just say, yep, look what you did, look Absolutely. What you did, look what, you know. But then you're like, okay, I messed up, Lord, please forgive me. And then you just move forward, and that's what right. David did. He always moved forward.
He totally
did. Which is a
did.
Great example for us as far as how we should handle things.
Absolutely. And David understood God's heart because he said, like in Psalm 103, I will bless the Lord. No. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He heals all my diseases, and he forgives all our iniquities. I think it's written the other way around. He forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. So he understood that was what God was all about. So anyway, when we're in 2 Samuel 23, we see that he's describing this God, our God, that he has served all these years. David wrote this towards the end of his life. We know David went to be with the Lord when he was 70. And, you know, that's not even that old. Mm-mm. And he had such an eventful life. And yet David is probably, I don't know, maybe best known for the David and Goliath story, which was we taught on that a couple weeks ago. Amazing. But when we look at David's entire life, we see tremendous trust in God. And I think, Connie, that's what God's really been hammering over into me personally lately, is it's all about trusting God, no matter what our circumstances are. And you started talking about that a minute ago.
Yeah, no matter what it looks like.
Right.
There's a plan.
Right.
God has a plan. And whether or not we decide to play by his plan, playbook, or if we try to write our own.
Exactly.
Which is the wrong thing to do.
But so often we
Trust
do, don't
me.
We?
Yeah. I learned the hard way. School of hard knocks.
But so often we think that we have the answer, or we mm-hmm. just simply get lulled into a place of complacency, I think, and laziness, mm-hmm. where we are not. And we're going to talk about that more in the show today. We're going to take this into a new level here in just a moment, where we have to fight. And why do we fight? Because it is so easy for the devil to be able to lull us, kind of rock us to sleep in a place where, instead of realizing that we've got to have God's word on our tongue, that we've got to praise God, that we got to stay on top of all these things on a daily basis, we can get so complacent. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Comfortable is not a good place to be.
No.
Because you don't, once you get comfortable, you don't try to move out of that comfort zone.
We just want to be comfortable. Like you said, we just want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Graham Cook says we need a problem. We have to have problems in our lives. The first time I heard him say that, I thought, no, dude, I don't want to hear that. We need a problem. Come on. We need a problem because problems produce faith. Mm-hmm. Our faith does not grow unless we have a place that we have to exercise that faith.
That's when we grow most is during those very challenging, difficult, you know, times, and we need to trust him, you know. And I can think of times I've done very good at that, and there's been some times, as in Connie had said, you know, there's sometimes that I didn't do so good with that.
Right. Yeah. So let's before we do this song, I want to ask you both then, why do we praise God? Why? Not just because he's worthy, but in the form of battle, why is praise so important, Connie?
Well, for me, it pumps me up. It's like a pep rally.
Okay.
Before the big game.
Yeah, high school pep rally.
You're like going to work, you know.
Right.
You got to have a pep rally to get you in the mood to go to work.
Right.
And face some of the stuff. You know, life is frustrating.
It's hard.
Whether it's, you know, being at home or being at work or being at play, wherever, people will try to frustrate them.
Sure.
Well, Satan will send them to you.
Sure.
Put it that way.
Right.
So I personally need my own pep rally before I go to work.
There you go.
Before I do anything, actually.
And so as you begin to praise God, what does that do in you?
It pumps you up and it gets you like, yeah, I can do this. It's only 12 hours.
Right. Don't you think it takes you to a new level, a different place where your focus changes? I mean, we made that point a few mm-hmm. minutes ago. I want to go back to that point. Nan, what happens as we refocus? What, I mean, because so often the devil wants us so centered on the problem rather than the solution, don't you think?
No, most. I mean, well, we gain strength as we praise,
right?
You know, we offer sacrifice of praise,
right?
And there's times it is a sacrifice to praise. It's, you know, with my praise warriors, it wasn't all just a piece of cake, easy thing to do. You know, when you're facing, you know, a very challenging situation, but. You know, it's just the praise.
And, it's the intensity. It's got to be. It's got to be something that we learn and stay with it and not give up. Go ahead.
Well, you know what else it is the words of some of the songs. Like today, when we were on our way to, it was either on the way here or on our way to lunch, one or the other, I was listening to the radio and a song came on that I had heard many times. But for some reason, I never really heard the words.
Okay.
So the lyrics... At different times, I think the lyrics at different times in your mm-hmm. life hit you in different ways.
Absolutely.
Strike you and make a point in your life.
Absolutely.
Or says, you know, you're going the wrong way. You know, or you know, something, it makes a statement
right.
that makes you sit up and take notice.
Mm-hmm.
Or it will just pump you up.
Right.
Because, you know, when you hear those words, those songs, when we're talking about praising songs, you're talking about praise songs that... lift up God and,
right.
and what he does for us and
yes.
what he can do for us.
Yes.
And so when you hear those things, it's like, yes, I know he can. I've experienced it. Why am I, you know, why am I whining about this?
Right.
Get a grip.
Yeah.
You know?
Whiny butt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not just realize
Let
that God
go.
Is faithful to his word and he is strong on our behalf mm-hmm. and he is working in our behalf even when we can't see it. So let's do this song. Mm-hmm. Blessed be your name. We did this one live at Beacon today. This one will just blow your socks off. Great song. Blessed be your name by
New Song.
New Song.
We come to worship the Lord tonight. We proclaim your righteousness in this great assembly. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. The sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing. Darkness closes in.
God. Oh, sounds great, and I love the way we did it this morning at Beacon of Hope. Woo! Mm-hmm. Blessed be your name. This is what David said over and over again. When things are going great and when things aren't going so great, I'm still praising God, man. I'm still praising God no matter what's going on.
Sometimes humanly it seems much more difficult, of course,
yes,
to praise
in, yes, it does,
the difficult times or in the storms. But that's when we grow most, too, I believe. It's easy. I mean, we need to praise him at all times. You know, it's where our praise should be continually upon our lips, as the word says. But it seems so much simpler when things are just going just great. Everything's working out fine. Everything's great. And to praise the Lord then. But it really shows where you are when you praise him in the difficult times.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes when things are going so good, we get complacent. We don't bother to praise God because we are, you know, everything's fine, hunky-dory. I like that word, hunky-dory. Everything's fine, and we get distracted, and we're off doing our fun things, and we're not taking time to concentrate on our relationship with the Lord. And David, when he was taking care of those sheep, I think those years that he was doing that prepared him for all the years that he'd be running from Saul, that he would have to really battle. He spent time before all that took place getting to know his Heavenly Father, writing songs that he could later sing. Oh, I think I'll sing that one I wrote about the Lord is my shepherd. However that went, you know, because a lot of these psalms were songs. So they had tunes. So maybe someday in heaven we'll get to hear David sing the Lord is my shepherd. That would be really cool. So David talks in 2 Samuel 23 as he writes this right before he goes to be with the Lord. On down in, I don't know, it's about verse 5 or 6. He says that God kept every promise. He kept his promise. He kept every promised word. My entire salvation, my every desire. I find that very interesting. And I said this in the sermon this morning. I want to say it again. When we are up against so many difficult situations in our lives, and all of us have them, they are family issues, they are relationship issues, they are financial issues, they are physical problems, perhaps disease or suffering or whatever it can be. We've got to find the scriptures, and we'll be happy to provide them for you. If you need some on a particular topic, just write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'll send you some scriptures you can hang on to. Because David understood this, and he came to the point in his life. We don't hear this written. We don't see this little phrase written. But here's the concept that David really lived by. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And it says that every promised word, David hung onto those words. And he learned how to fight. Now, fighting, man, what are we talking about when we're talking about fighting? I mean, so often I think our listening audience doesn't understand when we bring up that concept of fighting, how important it really is. And what are we fighting about?
We're fighting against the power that Satan has, who, by the way, does not have the power our God has, because he surpasses it, although there are times that it seems like Satan tries to magnify things as we're trying to battle, as we're battling and fighting.
It's because he's a liar.
Magnifies.
Right.
He's a liar. There you go.
Yeah.
That was a good program. And we are victor because he's with us. God is with us, and he is much more powerful.
First John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so often we find that we get to a place in life, Connie, if things are going really well, that we can just get out of the quote-unquote habit of praise. We don't take the time to do that, don't you think?
Yeah, because we're on autopilot.
We just cruise.
Just cruising because everything's cool. Everything's good. And then something happens.
But Connie, the devil always has a scheme up his sleeve,
sure
don't you
does.
Think?
He's a jerk.
And you've heard me say many, many times, the devil hates us.
Hates our guts.
Why does he hate our guts?
Because he doesn't want us being close to God. He doesn't want us being living our lives in a way that others may say, hey, what's with you?
Right.
What's going on with you? You're so happy. How can you be happy all the time?
And when we are praying for souls to be saved, which we're doing a lot of that right now, Beacon of Hope, the devil hates that. So he's going to pull out his all of his stops, and he's going to attack you, dear listening audience, in various ways. Sometimes it's through those right around you. You know what I'm saying, Nan?
Yes. Sometimes it can be.
All right, that was a good answer.
Connie's been teaching me.
Yes.
Well, sometimes, I mean, he can strike out at us through those that are closest to us.
Sure.
Because it, that would be the way that the point of attack could have most, power over us. You know, you know, get into it with your parents, get into it with your spouse or your children. I mean, who's closest to you? Usually it's your parents, your spouse, your children.
Right.
And, you know, just engage in, you know, just to have them come at you about situations or whatever, it causes hassle.
It really does. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was just going to say he was working overtime yesterday on me because he let me oversleep. Helped me oversleep.
Right.
Then he helped the deputy sheriff see that I was speeding down the road.
Oh, yeah.
The angels usually cover their eyes for me.
Okay, then. That's nice. Won't even comment on that. Yeah. But you got out of that ticket.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yes.
But there are so many things in our lives like that, daily basis things that happen to us that by the end of the day, sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're defeated. Sometimes we're worn out. We're just beat up.
I think he just has like stuff in a bag and he starts throwing it at different people.
Right.
And so he just wants to see how they're going to react. And when somebody gets mad and starts swearing or cussing or doing his kind of thing.
Right.
You know, not being the godly person, but being the devilly person.
Right.
And, you know, just acting the way he wants to get the response that he wants to get. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
having a party in hell. And we're acting like fools.
Because we can easily go down that road of doing what the devil is really trying to get us to do. I like what David says here. I don't know, is this verse 6 or 7 of 2 Samuel 23? Because in the Message Bible, I don't have a number beside it. It says, but the devil's henchmen are like thorns, culled and piled as trash. 2 Samuel 23, 6. Better not to try to touch them. Keep your distance with a rake or hoe. They'll make a glorious bonfire. I find that little section very interesting that David includes this in his last words. He's saying the devil does attack and his attacks are like thorns and it's better not to be touching that. It's better to use a rake or a hoe, some way to get those thorns away from you instead of embracing those thorns because they're going to hurt. And an example of these kinds of thorns are anxiety, fear, anger, worry, stress, hatred, bitterness, resentment, jealousy. Unforgiveness, jealousy, rage. We could go on and on and on and on. And these are the tricks and the schemes of the devil, and they're like thorns to us. And when we reach out and embrace them, we can get a thorn. A little friend of mine last night stepped on something and got a splinter in her toe. And it hurt. You know, she didn't have her flops on walking around the pool. And suddenly she got a splinter in her toe. Oh, splinter. Okay, we can leave that splinter in. Okay, and it'll get worse.
Faster.
Yeah, what happens, dear nurse?
It gets all pussy.
It gets really
gross.
Yucky. And it continues to hurt. And sometimes it hurts worse.
Infected. Mm-hmm.
There's a momentary pain of taking that splinter out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once it's out, it heals. And David is talking here about these thorns that are like splinters, you know, that when we grab, like, say, a whole area of unforgiveness, you know, we grab a whole handload of anger and resentment, it gets worse. It becomes like a thorn and it gets down on the inside of us. Do you want to comment on that, Nan?
I've seen stuff like that cause problems in churches.
Sure.
Because of all those things you mentioned, and they kind of like you get a group of people together that all are feeling, say, the same anger, say, at the pastor, then they start feeding off each other. So it really starts doing this major festation, if you use such a term.
Festation.
Festation. I just made up a word. Is that festation?
I don't know.
Maybe it's infestation.
It could be infestation.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you, Connie.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
abbreviated festation.
Or a manifestation. but abbreviated festation.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a Southern term.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
But it just causes a lot. That's a more corporate kind of problem, as well as dealing with it individually. You know,
right.
We at times individually will grasp onto a thorn of whatever and hold it close to us, and it just starts, as Nurse Connie says, it just starts festering up within
us. Yes, it does.
You know, and
it does.
Causes worse problems. And you can get it out. But it takes a longer time to heal because it stayed there longer than it should have.
Sure. And sometimes gets infected and you get a big old mess. Mm-hmm. So what David, I find this so fascinating to me that in his last words, he talks about how God has always been his stronghold, back in verse 2 of 2 Samuel 23. God has always been the one that he ran to. He talks about how God helped him govern fairly and well. He talks about how God made promises to him and kept his promises. He's talking about all those. And then he says, the devil really is out there working. And better be careful if you hook yourself up with any of his thorns. I find this fascinating that David cares so much about those that are going to read these words later on, like we are doing right now 2,000 years later, that he's warning us about the thorns that the devil throws our way, Connie.
Isn't it interesting that he had the same things that they may have a different name to them, but they're still the same things that the devil's doing to him is doing to us.
Right. Very same things. Fascinating. Oh, wow. This is fun. We got a lot more to talk about. And we're going to go on in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel in a minute. And we're going to talk about the three mighty men, David's mighty men, that were right around David, the closest to him. And there's some fascinating stuff right here on these three guys. Adino, Eliezer, and Shammah. Can't wait, right? Some great things to talk about here as we close out this series on Where Your Heart Is. So stay tuned with us for the next hour. We have a prayer line, Connie. How can they send a request, and why would they want to?
Because our prayers get results.
Amen, she said.
We have a prayer team.
Yes.
And if you're interested in being a prayer, send your name with your email address to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
And we'll add you to it. So as prayer requests come in, then we send those prayers out. We send the request out, and then there's a prayer attached to it. So sometimes we're, during the day, let's say people are busy at work or things, if you get a chance to check your email, you just look at it, read it, read the request, and there's a prayer attached right there, and just say, amen, I agree with this, and
amen.
There's 20-some, 30-some people that are agreeing in prayer together over this prayer request. So,
amen.
And then if you have a prayer request, you just do the same thing. You send a prayer request to Beacon of Hope Ministries, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and just tell us what your prayer is. And even if you don't want to name your prayer, just say you have an unspoken request. You know, God knows what your deal is.
Exactly.
And what your issues are. So, you know, you don't have to spill your guts, you know, because some people are very private. And
that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. You know, so just say you have an unspoken request, and we'll lift it to God, and he knows what it is. And
amen.
We don't need to know.
And there may be several of you that are joining us today on this show for the first time, several that we met yesterday at a festival that we were at. Mm-hmm. And if this is the first time for you to listen to our radio show, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, catch some old shows. We've got a couple years or more on our website. Got a lot of space on that website. So go and check us out, beaconofhopeministries.com. Now we also are on Facebook. Go it is.
You got it. Good.
Here it is. I have it. You go to facebook.com/ Beacon of Hope Ministries, and you will find us. We're the ones with the logo that's got a lighthouse on it, and because there's other Beacon of Hopes, but go there. And we also have The little YouTube things that we're doing now, yes. Connie. We're going to talk yes. about that in a moment. We got to do station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Wow. So it is. So we welcome all of you from all those different stations that are joining us now on Living the Good Life. People came to the booth yesterday. I had different ones say, I know you. I've been listening to you on the radio. And I was, always glad to hear that. It really is. Tell me, Connie, what's going on with the YouTube thing? That's a project that Madeline's heading up, and you two are helping with that. Mm-hmm. And you'll be doing more of that as time goes on. It's something new we're doing.
Yeah. She's putting clips on our Facebook page of some clips of the service.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't really, in this day and age, it's hard to imagine, but a lot of people don't have a Facebook page.
Okay.
So we're also hooking the services up through YouTube.
Mm-hmm. And so each week or twice a week, we're going to be putting a fresh little segment. Mm-hmm. They aren't long. They're going to be less than 30 minutes.
She's been working through some issues with camera, and she got a new camera, and so she's learning that.
Right.
And so there's a lot of technical things that she's doing right now that she's got. She's getting ironed out. So, the clips are on. The clips are on the Facebook site already. Right. I'm not sure if they're on the YouTube. I assume they are. They could probably just do a search on YouTube for Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Exciting. But, and it's kind of weird as I'm preaching now that there's a camera right there in front of me, and that's okay. I like that. It's fine. But we're excited about this new ministry venture and reaching more and more people with mm-hmm. the love and the forgiveness and the acceptance that Jesus provides. Nan, there's just been so much stuff happening, don't you think, in the ministry, blessings that God is doing. We're excited.
July will be 2 years. August will be 2 years that I've attended Beacon.
Okay.
And I have seen so much growth and so much positive things happening in the ministry, and the Lord just blessing the efforts and the prayers that have gone into and gone up for Beacon of Hope and for the people coming
Amen.
In.
Amen. It's exciting, isn't it? So many
exciting.
Saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and being set free from things that have drug them down. We just came from our nursing home ministry, which is the first Sunday of the month at Palm Garden. Every first Sunday of every month at Palm Garden. Let me say that again, in Clearwater. What do you think about that? Connie, is it a blessing to you still? You've been doing this ministry now for a long time, couple years with us there.
Yeah, I love it. Even the weekends that I work, and I don't have much sleep on Sunday morning, they're so precious.
They are,
it's a group of people that people have put there,
right?
Their families or the state or somebody has put there, and some of them have been forgotten.
Yeah,
and so it's a whole other outreach community for us to bring the love of God to.
And it's fun. I mean, we sing some of the old hymns and the old Sunday school songs, and they love it, and they smile, and they minister to us by the way they love us and receive us. So that was cool today, Nan, and all the things God's doing. Wow.
He's
fun.
Doing a lot. It's fun.
All right.
Serving God is fun.
It is.
It is.
Listen to this song, and then we're going to get back onto our discussion. Be Still is the name of the song by Story Side B. That's the name of the group. Mm-hmm. Weird name.
I remember all the times, the good times and the bad. I'm still holding on to you. Some days I wanna run, sometimes I come undone. But I still belong to you, and that's how I know that when I feel like caving, my heart, my soul is wearing thin. I just wanna give up, and nothing seems at all to add up. Can you hear me, Lord? My face is down upon the floor. It's down your way. Out of you, my friend,
same struggles that I have, and my heart goes out to you. I know it's hard to feel alone, and this world's so unforgiving. I've been feeling that way too, but I can tell.
Praise God. That was appropriate right there. And,
perfect
for what we've been talking about. And God says to us, no matter what you're going through, be still and know that I am God. And that is just so perfect timing right here. There are times in our lives when we are up against overwhelming situations. Connie and Nan are here with me on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad that you've joined us. And you can catch any of our past shows, a lot of them over the last 2 years, on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We are finishing today a series called Where Your Heart Is, and it's been going on for weeks. So you can go to our website and catch up on the last several weeks of this series. And we're talking about David's mighty men as we finish up this series. Jesus had three men right around him, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Then he had the group of 12. I mean, those three were part of the 12, so nine others. And then he had a group of 70 that he sent out, and then there were more. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still part of that group, way out there on the fringes somewhere. But, you know, the closest three men to David were his mighty men. He had actually 30, and these 30 were, it's interesting, that number too, by the way, talking about God's anointing. But let's look at 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. Here's the list of David's top men. The first one, I'm not even going to try to, well, I'm going to butcher it. Let's say Joseph Bashabeth or something was his name, but he had a nickname, so we can go with the nickname. His nickname was Adino, and that's a cool name. And Adino was a cool guy, and it says he was chief of the three. Adino was the strongest of the three. He once put his spear to work against 800 men and killed them all in a day. Oh my.
That's busy.
How do you kill 800 men in one day? I mean, physically, with your own spear. We're not talking about, when you think of a spear.
We're not talking about a machine gun.
Not a machine gun. And really not even talking about a sword. I find this interesting. A spear, almost like a javelin. You've got to throw
it. Stab them.
Yeah.
Or throw it and use perfect marksmanship.
Isn't that amazing? Go ahead.
And then you got to go pull it back out.
And go to the next guy.
Go to the next guy. Like they're going to stand around and wait to be hit.
I don't think they were standing there just going, okay, I'll be next.
Yeah. Here, kill me next.
Can you imagine? This is just phenomenal. Killing 800 men. One guy, Adino, killing 800 men, all with his spear. And this talks of this concept. And I love this. I love this teaching. He persevered against insurmountable odds. Dear ones, if you are going to have a heart after God like David did, you have got to learn to persevere against insurmountable odds. Nan, what does that mean? Insurmountable odds.
Well, when all the odds are against you, everything's against you, everything's right. against you, everything's against you.
Everything's against you,
everything's
right?
Everything's against
everything.
You. Everything.
It's against you?
Is against you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anything for you?
God.
God. If God be for me, who can stand against me?
Exactly.
Right? Romans chapter 8. And Paul said in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors, right? And it's so often, though, we feel like we're up against insurmountable odds. You know, like everything in our life is coming at us.
You know, it's quite a witness it gives for the Lord when we are if we're in a situation where it seems like there are insurmountable odds, and we come out victor in it. What honor and glory that gives to the Lord to show the power that He has to help us in those situations.
Totally
to the
amazing.
People around who are watching. I mean, what a witness that is. Mm. Not only Him getting us out of it, but a witness to those around us who
absolutely
are just like, wow, how did
absolutely.
You do that? And then you can share how you did it. You did it with God.
Well, you did it with praising God, and you did it by turning over your situation to God. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I was going to say is there's a thing that says when you get down to all you have is God,
right.
God's all you need.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And you both can attest to the fact that there are so many times it feels like every area in your life is under attack. You know, a relationship, your finances, your job, family members, whatever. I mean, I could go on and on about the things that it could be. And dear listening audience, some of you out there probably are feeling today that you are up against insurmountable odds, that you have no clue how you're going to get out of the mess that you're in. I've been there. I've been there recently. I've been there in situations where I felt like, oh my gosh, Lord, what are you going to do here? You know, how can you get me out of this mess? And when we are in our darkest times is when we need to be praising God, as we talked about in our first hour, when we need to be declaring, God, I know you can do it. I don't know what you're going to do. I have no clue how you're going to do it. That's not really my problem. My problem is praising you and thanking you, and that's what I'm going to do. And that's not a problem. That's a benefit, and that's a joy. And against insurmountable odds. You know, we've had some people, even in our congregation, that had bad health results. We've had cancer come up in different people in our congregation. We have had huge financial issues come up, things that were, it seemed insurmountable. There was no way out. And yet we've seen God move in mighty ways. This is who Adino was. He stood and he fought 800 men in one day. He killed them all in one day.
But can you, I mean, just, I mean, 800 men, I mean, it seemed like they should have taken him down, but God was with him. I mean,
well, don't you think he got tired, too?
Well, yeah, I guess you would get tired.
Can you think about it, throwing that spear?
Can you imagine with a spear? I mean, what does this say? It just talks about he gives strength to me, you know? Mm-hmm. These are the three men closest to David. So if David was a praiser, David was one that was singing God's praise all the time. Mm-hmm. I will bless the Lord at all times. David wrote it. You don't think he wasn't singing it? He was mm-hmm. singing it. And these guys right around him, his 600 soldiers, and these three in particular, had to be praisers. They had to live in that same place that David lived in.
Not only that, David wrote those as a shepherd, a lot of them.
Right.
So he was out in the wilderness with his sheep.
Right.
Just with God. You know, so he was spending, he had banked all that time with God.
Right.
So, and you can't say that he didn't have situations that were, you know, when his life was in danger or one of the sheep were in danger. And that God didn't intervene, you know, and he saw it.
And he saw it. Like he killed the lion and the bear. He told Goliath, I've killed the lion and the bear. He told Saul, I mean, I've killed the lion and the bear. So who's this guy? This giant is no big deal. I've killed a lion and a bear.
And
you know,
he was what, a teenager then?
A teenager, young teenager. Yeah. Insurmountable odds. David certainly had insurmountable odds there with Goliath. It just seemed huge. This guy was almost 10 feet tall.
Can you imagine in this day and age, whatever the giant is, and just slinging a stone, smooth stone,
right
out of a slingshot? And what are the odds that you could hit him in the one place that his entire body was not covered with armor,
right,
and it would kill him instantly?
Kill him instantly. We did this on the show, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, taught on David and Goliath. And if you missed that show, you need to go catch it on our website, because it really is a faith builder. It's such a faith builder. So, Adino persevered against insurmountable odds. Let's look at verse 9 of 2 Samuel 23. Then there's the second mighty man that was around David, and his name is Eliezer. His name means God is my helper. And he was the son of Dodo, the something rather, the next of the elite three. He was with David when the Philistines drew up for battle. And when the Philistines poked fun at them at this particular place. I find that interesting, Nan, that Eliezer was with David when the Philistines poked fun at him. Don't you? I think that something happened on the inside of Eliezer, like something rose up, like, don't you poke fun at us. We serve Almighty God. Mm-hmm. You know, don't you make light of how strong we really are in the spirit. I think so often people think we're weak. We may come across a certain way and appear weak, or we may have a demeanor, or we may have a stature that is short or small. That does not mean we're weak at all.
I think so many times when people see you take a different road than what somebody would do humanly,
mm-hmm,
they perceive that as weakness.
That's excellent. Good point.
And when in actuality, it's the strongest way to do it, because God is backing that.
Absolutely.
That action, and not the human response.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so I just kind of chuckle and watch them watch me,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Oh, yeah. Because when we get the heart of God, the mind of God on a situation, like evidently Adino did about these 800 guys, he knew, God said, you can take them. Okay, I'm taking them.
I'm
with you. No big deal. I mean, the same with David. David went out boldly against Goliath and said, it's no big deal. He's he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. You know, he's no big deal. He's just it's okay.
Tall
We're
guy.
Getting him. Yeah, he's just a tall guy.
Tall people fall harder because they got farther
to go.
To fall.
Good point. All right, Nan.
Well, because he had been through God being with him and killing the lion, killing the bear, he knew the power. As we go through difficult times, and then the Lord sees us through those difficult times as we're praising him, and there's those times, strengthens us. So then the next thing that comes against us may be a little bit stronger, but that strengthens us also, because we can reflect back, and I can remember when God did such and such. So that's kind of how David was.
Right.
He said, well, what's the big deal? I mean, hey, he took care of this, he took care of this, he can take care of Goliath without a problem.
It's huge.
Because I've seen, and people around David probably were like, can't you imagine some of those big, strong soldiers snickering and laughing amongst themselves and making fun of him, and even probably, perhaps, it doesn't say it, but perhaps almost taunting him, going, yeah, right, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
What are you going to do? You can't do anything. Look at your little boy come out of with a slingshot. Go back home. Go tend the sheep.
Well, don't you think maybe that happened here with Adino that we just talked about? Because everybody else in the army of Israel had left town. And here's Adino fighting 800 people by himself. And don't you think the consensus of the crowd was probably, he's going down. He's going to die. He can't do it by himself. Mm-hmm. And here we find Eliezer, and the Philistines had poked fun at David's army. they had just like, ah, you guys are nothing. You know, you're just wimps. We're going to take you. That's the attitude that was right here. And Eliezer stood his ground. It doesn't say that the army did. It says, in fact, the army retreated. How often, dear listening audience, have you had those around you that you needed to stand with you on things, just walk away and retreat? Connie, you and I have had that happen many times in the ministry because you've been with me since 03, and we have seen so many times that soldiers in the army of the Lord have just gotten discouraged, depressed, or mad about something stupid and walked away from the place where God had put them because it was easier for them.
Easier or just they were just so mad,
right,
or so hurt or so...
Whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's because their agenda didn't get fulfilled, mm-hmm, which happens a lot in churches. Mm-hmm. But my point is simply they retreated. For whatever reason.
They're gone.
Mm-hmm. And this is what happened here in 2 Samuel 23, that the army of Israel had retreated. They had gone because they'd been poked fun at, for heaven's sake.
Wah, wah.
Is exactly right. And we're going to talk about Eliezer in just a minute, about what he chose to do. So often, I think, that I've seen in the ministry, that true soldiers are few and far between. And we really talked about this at Beacon of Hope this morning, the importance of being a soldier, being awake, being alert. You know, when you're in boot camp, I've never been to boot camp, but my dad talked about it, boot camp in World War II, and I've known other people through the years that have gone to boot camp. And the consensus I've heard many times is that they don't let you just say, I'm sleeping this one in today.
Oh, no.
They don't say, oh, really? You don't feel like fighting today? That's fine. Why don't you just, you know, stay on your bunk? You know, read a book.
We'll bring you some breakfast.
Is that what happens with soldiers? Are they allowed for 1 minute to take
a break?
Take their guard, let their guard down?
Well, they get a leave, but the leave is generated by when they say they can take a leave.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you apply for a vacation and go
no
to the Caribbean or something.
No. And that's army. That's the normal army procedure. And we understand that and accept that. Go ahead.
When you were talking, it was funny because as you said about being in the army, I was thinking about the Marines. And, you know, part of their slogan is the few, the called. The few, the called something. But anyway, I've also seen the billboards that say we don't take applications, we take commitments.
Ooh, that's good.
So I was thinking that was pretty appropriate for us.
Oh, absolutely. And so often in God's army, we have so few people that want to make a commitment,
mm-hmm,
and want to go the extra mile, want to get up in the middle of the night and pray, want to talk to people about the Lord. I mean, God's army needs more dedicated soldiers that will make that commitment. And when, you know, 4 o'clock, God says, wake up and get to praying, you wake up and get to praying.
And some people want to be like that, but they don't want to do what is necessary to be like that. I mean, if that makes you sense. You know, do you want to, you know, well, I want to go home this afternoon. I want to watch the ball game on TV. But then you get a call, someone's in the hospital. Well, they need you to go see them.
Right.
You know, so you have to drop down what you maybe wanted to do, which was watch the game or whatever, to go do what you need to be doing for the Lord. You know, and there's times that those, mm-hmm, those needs, those times that there are needs that we need to be there to reach out to whoever's in need,
right,
and needing you.
Right.
We have to put aside our own personal feelings or agenda for that particular moment to go meet that need.
You know, this is so true. I had a group of friends I would watch football games with on Sunday afternoon years ago. And sometimes I would pride myself in being able to watch 3 games in a row, you know, the 1 o'clock game, the 4 o'clock game, and the 8 o'clock game on ESPN. That was my schedule on Sundays a lot of times after church. And then when we got the opportunity to have this radio show, I was chastised greatly by a couple people in particular, one in particular, for not caring enough about football that I would miss most of game one and most of game two on Sundays to have the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, you know, yeah, I wish I could be home watching in some ways, but this opportunity is far greater and greater rewards than doing that. And so sometimes we have choices, tough choices to make, which we're going to talk about right after this song. This song, again, fits in perfectly. One of my favorite songs, Nan, you need to write it down. C.C. Yes, Winans, ma'am. His Strength is Perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me.
His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. That's what it's all about, Nan. And that's why these guys were mighty men, because physically you don't stand and you're able to kill 800 men in one day. If God wasn't working with them, they had spiritual strength, not just physical strength. I believe they were like David. They were full of God. I believe that with all my heart, because Eliezer here persevered against amazing fatigue. If you are just joining us, we're in 2 Samuel 23, and we're talking about the three closest men around David, starting in verse 9 or verse 8. And in 9, we're talking about Eliezer, and it says that the whole army of Israel retreated. They just walked back. They were just mad. They were humiliated. They had been made fun of. And so emotionally, they were like little babies, and they just retreated. And Eliezer, however, stood his ground, crybabies, and killed the Philistines right and left until he was exhausted. But he never let go of his sword. It says his sword was stuck to his hand. I mean, there was no way he could take... I mean, they had to pry it off of his sword because he killed Philistines right and left. And it says it was a big win for God that day. The army then rejoined Eliezer, and all there was left to do was clean up because they didn't even get a chance to do the battle because they had retreated. Connie, what do you have to say about that? There are people in the ministry that have retreated, Connie.
Crybabies.
They have walked away due to their feelings getting hurt. Yes. And they don't want to put the time in. I know. They don't want to put the time in. They don't want to put and because you put your life out there, you put yourself on the line in the ministry. Nan, you've been in the ministry for years. You understand this. You put yourself out there. You're going to get hurt. You're going to have people misunderstand you. Believe me, that's been the story of my life in 30-some years of pastoring. I have been so persecuted and misunderstood so many times, lied about and everything.
Just like Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, so many times. Connie, you've been through a lot of it with me. You know. And accusations that are untrue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's part of it. But if you are a dedicated servant of the Lord, you don't give up during those times. Instead, you just persevere. It's called perseverance. Ugh, I could preach about this. I am. Nan, talk. Talk, Nan.
We can persevere as long as we lean unto Him.
Yeah.
You know, and... there's going to be times that you think, and we've kind of touched on this also, but there's going to be times that you think that you have people there with you. And depending on how things goes, all of a sudden, you kind of, they're gone, like right. The army backed away. But yet, you can still keep standing, and you can make it because you rely on the Lord. And you made reference in the sermon this morning about the sword being the word of God.
Yes.
Keeping the sword in his hand. And
kept it in his hand.
You encouraged us to keep our sword, the word of God, in our hands as we
move
forward.
That's your weapon, the word of God, what God's word says about your situation. That's what you got to declare. And you got to declare it out of your mouth. And you got to be willing to fight with that sword. And so often, Connie, we get lackadaisical. I don't know how you spell that, but it's true. Lackadaisical, we get complacent. We get lazy. Mm-hmm. We get self-centered. We get, it's all about me. I need this. I need that. And it's not about the battle that's right before us and that God is looking for some strong, mighty men who will rise up and fight.
I had a great thought, and it just went out of my head.
Okay. Maybe it'll come back. But isn't that true?
Isn't it true? Very true.
Yes. Okay. And there are so many times that the devil will try to convince us that our piece of the puzzle, let's say in a body of believers, in a church, is not that important. You know, they'll be fine without me. I'm going on down the road because I just don't want to have to go to church. I don't want to have to be committed. I don't want to have to praise God. I don't want to have to quote the word. It's like mamby-pamby. You know that commercial that you and I like? What about
guy? Take a trip down mamby-pamby
land. What is that, a Geico commercial or whatever it is? But, you know, so many people are crybabies. They're just like, it's like, oh, it's too hard to face all this and to fight. And God is calling for soldiers to be raised up in this last day, Nan. God is calling for soldiers, mighty warriors to be raised up.
With a commitment.
I was just going to piggyback off something she said, that and the Marines said, we're not taking applications, we're taking commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people come in a church, kind of like the church, maybe like the pastor, and start to get to know the people, and they want to be involved. I want to do this, or I want to do that. You know, they come up with great ideas. But then when it comes down to there being a true commitment, are gone.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you don't see them. Yep. And, you know... There needs to be a commitment in whatever Amen. You do for the Lord. There needs to be a commitment, whatever that is.
Absolutely. Eliezer, he persevered against undefinable fatigue. That's the second mighty man. he had to be so completely exhausted, Connie, to fight and fight and kill all these Philistines right and left until he was exhausted, but he never let go of his sword. He absolutely did not give up.
We can't give up. And if you spend any time at all in the Bible or walking with God,
right,
you will see the energy and the strength that he gives you.
Oh, yes.
If you put forth a little effort,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like give an inch and take a mile. He is like there right. cheering you on, you know, look at my kid. He's doing this and he's doing all this for me and he's doing this. I'm going to help him. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's like a big gust of wind of power behind you that helps keep you in what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and, you know, helps you recognize that it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just keeps the wheels turning. It keeps things flowing because
right.
It's like, when you have one of the wells and you have to prime the pump
mm-hmm.
to get the water out of the well, he's priming the pump.
Right.
And then once he gets it started and he just keeps positively feeding us,
right.
It just keeps flowing.
In 2007, when my dad went to be with the Lord, and I mentioned him this morning in my sermon, and I love my dad so much, and he just taught me so much. But he had died in early November, and a couple weeks after he passed away, one of my nephews was running in a race, and he was just totally fatigued in this race. And my nephew Craig, who's very special to me, he told me later that day what happened, and he was running and he was to the point he just wanted to sit down. He wanted to quit. Now, my dad had been a runner. My dad had run the marathon. He had done a lot of running through his years. In fact, he gave himself a t-shirt once that said, "I've run 10,000 miles," given to me by me, and something like that on the back of it. And, I mean, he was a runner, you know, and he had run on the front lines in World War II. And Craig was running that day and wanted to quit, and he began to think about Grandpa and how much he loved him and missed him and how Grandpa was a runner, and he wanted to be like him in his life, you know. And he said later that as he began to think about him and think about how God had sustained Grandpa, suddenly a gust of wind, and it just reminded me of that because of your story, Connie, a gust of wind came behind him and just propelled him on, and he was mm-hmm. able to finish that race. And he said it was because what he was thinking about and how God had helped his grandpa, and he wanted to be that kind of a man. And cool. It just, so many times we are up against amazing fatigue. We may get so weary in well-doing. We may get weary in the ministry. We may be getting weary personally. Maybe we've worked so many hours and we're exhausted. Maybe we've gone through all kinds of personal problems, or maybe we are fighting a disease. Some of you out there may be up against unimaginable fatigue, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, whatever it is, and you just want to give up. And God's word says, don't give up. Be a mighty man. So Eliezer persevered against undefinable fatigue. Amazing. Let's get to the last one, Shammah. Shammah was a guy who was also one of the mighty men. And there was a field full of beans, lentils. Isn't that interesting, Nan? It's such an insignificant thing, a field full of beans. But Israel's army again ran away from the battle. They did not run to the battle as David directed them to. They ran away from, they fled from the Philistines. And Shammah took his stand at the center of the bean field. Amazing. And he successfully defended it and routed the Philistines. And it says that was another great victory for God. And the third point is sometimes we have to persevere in spite of insignificant rewards. Where it seems like nobody's going to even notice that we've been up praying or that we have been persevering when there's not much reward to it at all.
But the one that sees it even though we're doing it by ourselves, the one that sees it is the one that's going to reward us.
Oh, amen. Amen. You know, I think these three guys teach us a lot right here, that if you're going to be a mighty warrior, if you're going to have a heart after God like David, that's been this series, the whole series. Where is your heart? Where your heart is? Where is it? Is your heart so after God that when God calls you to do something for him, that you just give him all kinds of excuses? Or is your heart so after God that you say, absolutely, yes, sir, you know, like you do in the military? Yes, I'll do that. Talk to me, Nan.
Well, what came to mind was this whole period of my life that I've not been at Beacon. And right. back many years ago, and I'm not to say I don't do it really now, but then I just can remember, whatever God told me to do, I said yes.
Right.
I never questioned him. And I'm not trying to say, look at me. I'm just saying that's just my, during the, it was like, whatever. There was never a question.
Right.
Y'all have seen, helped me through freedom and deliverance and been delivered of some things and, you know, just, but back then, it was just, I never questioned him. Mm-hmm. You know, during some of my counseling, I questioned why right. this or why that, but during that period of my life, I never did.
Right.
And I praise God I never did. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about it just now, but whatever, you know, what pastor need me to do something, no problem.
Right.
And, you know, like, you know, Connie was saying, the one who rewards you is the one who sees you. There were things that, you know, that we did that wasn't real big noticeable, but it's something needed to be done.
Right.
But we didn't say yes to be seen.
Right. Sometimes the jobs we do, we have dedicated people at Beacon who a lot of people never see them running the sweeper, cleaning the toilets, staying up all night praying. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is you're called to do, the word says do it with all your might.
Yep.
And you do it as unto the Lord.
Right.
And, I mean, Shammah stood in a bean field and all the Philistines came to him thinking they could take him out, and they couldn't take him out. Mm-hmm. He mowed them down one after another. He just stood his ground in the middle of the bean field. Connie, don't you find that fascinating? I love this story. Defended all the lima beans.
Yeah. Now that's something to defend.
There it is.
There you go.
But you know, seriously, and all of the Israelites had retreated. They'd gone. They didn't stand. And here he was.
They must not have had Holly's lima beans.
They must never have had her good lima beans, or they would have fought for them. But really, here we're saying, soldiers, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Because so often what happens is the devil tricks people into getting their focus away from the mission, the vision, the goal, and getting their focus on their how they've been hurt, how they've been slighted, how the pastor didn't go with their plan or their idea, how they felt like they didn't have enough attention, whatever, and they walk out of the place that God has for them.
And how blessed they would be if they stayed. You know, if God has kind of led them where they needed to stay there and stand their ground and do what they need to do for the Lord instead of
Adino,
walking away.
Eliezer, right. and Shammah all stood their ground.
They learned from David.
They learned from David that you don't retreat. Mm-hmm. David stayed a mighty warrior to the end of his days. He stayed strong. Go ahead.
What would a shepherd be if when the bear came or the mm-hmm. lion came?
Good point.
And they ran off.
Right.
And left the sheep there to die.
Right. Mm-hmm. So no matter what it is we're going through, he's the calmer of our storm by down here.
When everything is wrong, the day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me, I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head, I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me, will change my life and bring you glory.
child of little faith. I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing. Torment blows in the middle of the sea. May I never trust, never trust in me. 'Cause there in your arms I find no tragedy.
Praise God. What a good song, Connie. They are always fit right in where God has us. I hope you're getting this message that God is saying to us today about where your heart is. And we have been talking about David's three closest mighty men and how they fought. And we're just given one little snapshot of how they fought. But it's amazing to me that what we find in 2 Samuel 23 shows perseverance. Go with us to Romans chapter 5 as we kind of wrap all this up today and this whole series. Romans chapter 5, one of my favorite little passages here. I love it. Let's start with verse 1 in Romans 5. It's talking about entering into faith. Romans 5, 1, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. I love this. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand. Out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Any of you ever felt that way? That's verse 3 of Romans chapter 5. We continue to shout our praise. We've been talking about that today, especially in our first hour. If you missed it, you can go to our website and hear the first hour again by tomorrow sometime. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Passionate patience. Wow. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Connie, read 3 through 5 in your NIV, will you? Some of you may, this may sound more familiar to you in the NIV translation.
Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Mm-hmm. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love for our hearts. Poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I have ink on from the other side of the page.
So
and it's marring up my letters.
Right. So when we persevere, like these three mighty men of David, Eliezer and Adino and Shammah, when we persevere against insurmountable odds, against amazing fatigue, against insignificant rewards, when we persevere, God meets us right where we are, and he wins. In our weakness, we are made strong.
It's been the times I've grown most when I've gone through difficult situation and persevered with God's help.
Exactly.
And made it through and became stronger on the other side of the trial.
That's when we get stronger. You're right. And we agree with Graham Cook. You got to have a problem in order to increase your faith. Faith grows by having to solve problems and having to hang on to God's word and believe that there is an answer in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. Tough times produce mighty warriors.
Mm-hmm. If you stay in the fight.
If you stay in the fight. If you give up and retreat and you're wimpy and you say, no, I can't do this, it's too hard, then you won't produce all of those rewards and you won't grow. You won't grow.
No.
By just giving up. Talk to me, Connie.
You got to be in the situation. You got to be in the battle in order to learn the tactics to survive.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to get killed.
Right. And if you never have a skirmish, you never have a battle, you know. My grandson, little Justin, is not only a great baseball player, but he's a great football player. A lot of promise in the football arena, and he's only 12. But he has to go to practices, and football season doesn't start until late August, okay? But Justin's already been practicing, and he's only 12. He's already been practicing since early in May, conditioning with the high school kids.
Really?
The 12-year-olds are conditioning now with the high school kids. I mean, there's certain extra, you know, lifting and certain things that they don't have them do. But they have them running. They have them working out. They have them preparing so that when the time is right, that they're ready to be on that football field, they can do it.
And, you know, I bet that those 12-year-olds are putting those high school students through their paces. Just as this just as you were saying this, this just came to my mind. Just as new people who come into church
right.
who have a fresh
yes.
sense of being there. They get
right.
excited because
they're
they
excited.
Found something they wanted.
Right.
Those old farts that are there. Those high school students that are there that have been doing this for 4 years.
Right.
Okay, especially the seniors.
Right.
You know, they've been doing this for 4 years or 5 years through high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden they get this young blood coming in here, doing things, running faster,
right?
Doing because they're so excited to be working out with the seniors
right.
or the high school. You know, so they're putting them through their paces and challenging them,
right?
And it's up to those high school students. In their maturity and what they're doing, if they're really team players,
right?
Just as more people from church, if they're really prayed up and soaked up in the
good
word,
good point.
Their response to the new people is not going to be a jealousy,
right?
It's going to be, yeah, come on, let's do this.
Yeah,
let's try this new thing.
Sure,
you know, it's not going to be, oh, we did that, we're done. You know,
right.
we did that, and don't sit in my seat,
right? Which happens so often in churches, assigned seats, which really are not assigned whatsoever.
Right.
Excellent point. Nan, talk to me about this.
Connie kind of said it all.
All right. Okay. Well, the point is that when we are up against these things in our lives, whether they be in church situations or whether they be just in our homes or wherever we are, our workplace, that instead of giving in and capsizing and saying, I can't go on, this is too hard for me, instead we take on a new attitude like these mighty men, and we realize that we have to persevere. We have to hang in there. We can't just give up. We can't just go down in defeat. We have got to say, okay, God, how are you and I going to do this? You tell me what to do. I'll do it. If it means that I got to spend more time fasting and praying, if it means that I've got to be quoting the word more, if it means that I've got to be using my weapons of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, whatever it takes, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And that's what it's all about. Cedric, I want us to go back to track 5 one more time and then start playing it. And then at the beginning of it, keep it low. I want to talk over it a little bit. And then you can raise it when I... So you can do all things, dear listener, through Christ who gives you the strength.
But
Oh. So many times we think that we can't do it, but he can through us.
No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there,
he's there
to let me
to
know.
Let me know. We want to pray for you right now. No matter what it is you're going through, God has an answer. He wants you to learn to be a mighty man in his army, and he wants you to rest in his promises and in the truth of his word. He wants you to use your weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. He wants you to declare the word of God out of your mouth and declare that whatever it is you're facing right now is absolutely no way going to defeat you. That you are going to defeat that situation by the weapons that you have. And so his strength is perfect when we are weak and we just rely on him. You just allow God right now to take over in your situation. Oh, God, thank you for your strength right now. He'll carry us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you do this for each of us.
Raised in his power, the weak.
Amen.
Become.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Connie and Nan, it's always fun to have you on the show. You're just wonderful and a part of our radio team. Do you have a final quick thought? We're just about done.
Just one quick thought. I would like to speak to any people who are leaders or former leaders in churches. They've been hurt by leadership. I'd like to encourage them they have a heart after God. They need to get back up in service
right.
Somewhere, wherever
Amen.
That is to be. I never believed that I would ever love or care for a pastor again after what I went through. But I love you and the leadership of Beacon very much. I just like to encourage them. It's time. It's time. Get over it. It's time. Move forward.
Praise God.
I just want to read a scripture, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But I want to read it in the message. And I just feel like this is something that somebody needs to hear. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live life freely and lightly.
Praise God. God's word to you today. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie, and Nan from the radio team at Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you God's word today. We encourage you, check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, for more information about the ministry. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. And that's Bible study Wednesday night. We're excited and glad that you've joined us today. Tell somebody about this show. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Living the Good Life.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.